first time we met. I was living life in deep regret, and I remember well that sacred place where I received your precious gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave his only Son. I'll never understand why he loved a common man so much that he would die in my place. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Here I am alone with you again, wounded from the burdens of my sin, guilty and ashamed of my mistakes. But then you extend your endless gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to understand why he loved a common man so much that he would die in my place. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that had saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Jones. And what a wonderful gift from God Almighty, the gift of grace. For by grace are you saved. Amen. It's by the grace of God we're saved because God chose to have and desire a relationship with common man. Can you ever fathom that for just a moment? That an almighty God would want to have a relationship and fellowship with you and I. It's an amazing, amazing thought. One of these days we'll be forever with the Lord, perfect, and we'll understand, we'll have perfect knowledge, but until then, I'm just going to hang on to that wonderful truth. I don't have to figure grace out. All I got to do is accept it. All I got to do is believe it. Take your Bible, if you would, Genesis 44 with me this morning. Genesis chapter number 44. Many of you will recognize it once you get there. We're going to jump right into the story, one of the most moving stories in all the Bible, the story of Joseph and his brothers. Genesis chapter 44, would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? We're going to read the first 13 verses of Genesis chapter 44. If you'll follow along with me silently as I read aloud. And he commanded the steward of his house, that he is Joseph, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And this is important because this is going to be the text verse, the gist of the message here. It says, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto the steward, up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Yea, have done evil in so doing? Or ye have done evil in so doing? And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words, and they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servant be found, or it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, that's the steward of Joseph, now also let it be according to your words, he with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest. Now listen to this now, verse 12. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. Now I want you to notice in verse number 12 that the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And if you'll go back to verse number 2, the scripture says that Joseph put the cup there. He put the cup in Benjamin's sack. And I want to take this story here, and we're going to I'll develop this in just a second, but I want to take the story that we've jumped into here this morning, and I want to ask you a question as the message goes forward this morning. Is there a cup in your sack? Is there a cup in your sack? Now, Father, would you bless now our time and the preaching of your word? Open hearts today, that, Lord, that we may be able to embrace the truth that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. How many times have you ever gone to the store or maybe possibly gone to a fast food restaurant, ordered something, just took the sack, set it over in the seat, got home, opened it up, and you found out that there was stuff in there that you had no idea was in there? Because you're thinking, no, wait a minute, I didn't order this. What? How did this get in my sack? Now, here's what most of us had to do. Once that's happened, and that's happened to me several times, normally, when you open your sack up and you look inside to see that there are things in there that you didn't order, there are things in there that you didn't anticipate being in there, then you've got to make a decision, okay, will I just go ahead and eat the burrito or I take it back? And then here's how we reason, well, you know what, they've kind of shortened me a time or two, so I think I'll just keep this one and eat it. How many times have you had people give you money at the cash register, and you know how you just kind of fold it up and put it in your purse or put it in your pocket, and you get home, and you know that you gave them a 10, but they gave you more than $10 change back? And you opened your pocket up, and you thought, wait a minute, something's wrong here. You discovered something that wasn't exactly what you ordered. You found something there that wasn't exactly what you had decided or what you determined it to be, and so you had to make a decision, am I going to keep the money or am I going to take it back? You see, what happened in our story this morning is, according to our text verses here, there was a young man by the name of Benjamin who was the youngest brother of Joseph. Now, if you're not familiar with the scripture, let me bring you up to speed to where we are right now in Genesis 44. Joseph was a young man that was despised by his brothers because he was the favorite of his father. And because he was despised of his brothers, they came up with this idea. First of all, they were going to kill him. And then they decided not to kill him. They decided to sell him into Egyptian bondage. So they sold him as a common slave. How'd you like those kind of brothers to deal with? You say, I think I'll take a knot on the head before I take brothers and sell you. You see, his brothers sold him into slavery, into Egypt, and into bondage. Well, after some struggles and 2 years in prison, Joseph was drawn out of prison and interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. Two dreams he interpreted, and both of them basically had the same meaning. There would be 7 years of prosperity, and there would be 7 years of famine. Well, because Pharaoh was so delighted that someone interpreted his dream, he raised Joseph to second in command over all Egypt and gave him the authority to gather the crops during the 7 years of prosperity so that they would have food during the 7 years of famine. Well, the famine went all over the earth. The prosperity lasted 7 years, so Joseph gathered crops and food for 7 years. Well, after the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine came all over the earth, and it even went down into Canaan land where Joseph's brothers who sold him into Egypt were experiencing the famine. Well, they realized and had heard that there was corn, there was supply in Egypt. So they gathered up and they took the journey into Egypt only to come face to face with their brother. There Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. You see, he knew who they were, they just didn't know who he was. And he, because they had to speak through an interpreter, and in their mind, Joseph was either dead or had been long gone into slavery somewhere. But they came up to Egypt looking for substance and looking for food. Well, Joseph said, you're not here for food, you're spies. They're like, wait a minute, what gave you that idea? We're not spies. Do we look like spies? He said, you're spies. They said, no, we're not spies. We just came up to get food. That's all we want. He said, no, you're lying. You're spies. He said, what was he doing? Testing them. Now, Joseph, through his test, decides to take one of the brothers by the name of Simeon and hold him captive. While he was conversing with these men, they began to tell them that they had a father, and a younger brother that still lived down in Canaan. He said, is that right? He said, why don't you just run down there and get that boy and bring him back, and I'll just keep Simeon here with me until you get back. And so, long story short, they gather their goods together, and off they went back to Canaan. Let Jacob know that Simeon had been hailed, and, well, the famine continued. They ran out of food, and so they returned to Egypt, this time with Benjamin. Now, listen, that wasn't the easiest thing to do because they had to convince their daddy to let him go. And they had to do some stiff talking for daddy to let Benjamin go back because he was afraid that Benjamin might fall under the same fate that Simeon fell. Well, they come back to Egypt once again, and they brought Benjamin with them, and Joseph sees them, and he gives them corn along with their money back in their sack. Except this time, Benjamin, who had arrived in Egypt with them, who was the blood brother of Joseph, and that's who he intended to see, that's who he desired to see. And so this time, Benjamin comes back, and in his sack, Joseph says, here's what I want you to do, Mr. Steward. In the sack of the youngest, I want you to take my silver cup and I want you to hide it in the mouth of his sack. Well, they gathered up just like they did time before, and their sacks were filled with corn. The steward put their money back in there, except this time they got something extra that they didn't bargain for. This time, when they found out what was in their sacks, this time it wasn't just corn. This time it wasn't just the money in their sack. This time they found out that in the sack of the youngest was the cup of Joseph. You see, the steward pursued after this company as they were heading back, and the men said to the brother said, hey, listen, we're not thieves. Don't you remember we brought back the money that we got in our sack before? Don't you remember that? They said, doesn't matter. They began to take down the sacks and look, they said, look, I tell you what, I'm so confident that there's nothing in these sacks that doesn't belong to us, that whoever you find, what you're looking for, let him die and we'll be your servants. And you know what the steward said? Fine. will go according to your word. So they begin to take the sacks and open the sacks up as they went from the eldest to the youngest. And when they got to Benjamin's sack, they opened it up. There was corn. There was money. But there was something in the sack that he didn't know was in there. There was something in the sack that when they opened it up, that was unexpected. He opened the sack up and there was Joseph's cup. And because the cup was found in Benjamin's sack, then all things now were about to change in their lives. Everything was about to change in their life as far as their relationship with their brother. You say, "Preacher, why did you tell us that story? Where are you going with this?" I want you to listen very carefully. In order for you to grasp the spiritual truth that I want to convey to you this morning, concerning the verses that we've read, then you must understand this, that Joseph is an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. Joseph depicts in the Old Testament the love of Christ, the grace of Christ, the compassion of Christ. And so Joseph is an Old Testament picture of Jesus. And you've got to keep that in mind this morning, or you're going to get lost within the message. But I also want to say this to you this morning. I want you to not only keep in mind that Joseph is the Old Testament picture of Christ, I also want you to picture this morning that the sack that each one of these men had, that sack represents your life. That sack that this morning that we find that they have in their hands, I want you to picture that to be your life right now. Now, think about this if you would please. If that sack represents our life right now, and Joseph represents a picture of Jesus Christ, can I ask you, when times got tough, when situations got tough with the brothers and famine came in the land, do you know who they went to see? They went to see, even though they didn't know they were going to see, and he revealed to him, they went and found out that in Egypt, that's where the corn was, and unbeknownst to them, they brought their sack to their own brother to fill their sack. You see, this morning the brothers brought their sack. Now, this isn't sack. I don't think there's Sid Coleman on the side of it, but it's the best I can do this morning. Let me have, I tell you what, Adam, come up here. You look like you'll be a good Jesus this morning. Come up here and stand for just a moment. Now, keep in mind, the brothers were down in Canaan, famine in the land. They had no resources. They had nothing. If they had stayed like what they were and stayed going the path they were, they would have died. Amen? So what they decided to do is, you know what? We heard that there's supplies in Egypt. We heard that there's supplies up there, and there's a man up there that's second in command that's over all this. You know what? What can it hurt if we'll just take money and we take our sack to him? And so the brothers brought their lives to Joseph. Now listen very carefully. Here's the application of this. Do you understand that you, this morning, likewise, you have nothing outside of Jesus Christ? You have no hope. You have no life. You have no substance outside of him. And just like Joseph's brothers had to bring their life to Joseph, can I say something to you this morning? You're going to have to bring your sack to Jesus this morning. You're going to have to bring your life to him if you want it to mean anything to you. You see, the brothers brought the sack to Joseph. Now listen, when they got there, they offered Joseph money, didn't they? Joseph took their money, filled their sack with corn, which they needed. Well, what did he do with the money? He gave it back. Why? Because what you get from God, God will be debtor to no man. God will be debtor to no man. And so, remember, Joseph being a picture of Christ, the brothers brought their sack and said, "Can we buy corn?" And Joseph said, "Sure you can." So he fills their sacks with life, with corn, with substance, with everything they need to survive. Let me tell you something. You know our problem is? Our problem is we're taking our sack and offering it to the wrong person. We're going to here, we're going there, we're going everywhere saying, "Fill my sack. Fill my sack with happiness and joy and fill my sack with prosperity." The problem is we're not going to the right source.
You see, if they would have gone to any other source, anywhere else, they'd have died because, you know what? Only Joseph had the food. Only Joseph had the supply. Only Joseph is the one that God had sent them to supply their need. So they go to Joseph and offered their sack to him, and he filled their sack with the substance of life. Well, not only did he fill their sack with corn, he filled their sack and gave them their money back. No debtor to no man. But did you know when the brothers, when Joseph filled their sack full of corn, put their money back in there, they took their sack, threw it over their shoulder, and off back to Canaan they went. Did you know, listen carefully now, even though Joseph filled the sack, gave them their money back, did you know that the sack, the corn, and the money, they got to do with it whatever they chose? He didn't say, okay, here's the corn now, you got to make popcorn out of it. Or you got to make flour out of it. Or you got to do this. And then when he put the money, he didn't put a note, a little sticky pad on there and say, listen, I want you to use this for to pay your bills. He gave them the corn. He gave them the money back. They took it. They put it over their shoulder. Off they went. But you know, they chose how they used their life. You see, God put in that bag, Joseph put in that bag for them everything they needed to live, but it was up to them what they were going to do with it. It was up to them what they were going to do with the corn. It was up to them what they were going to do with their finances. It was up to them what they were going to do with what God put in the bag and what Joseph put in the bag. You see, Joseph supplied his brothers with everything they needed to live by, but it was their choice to do with it as they pleased. Let me say something this morning. You see your life here? God has everything that you need in life. He's got a perfect will for you. And He's willing to put everything in your life that's needed. But can I say something to you? Once He does, and you draw the string and you throw it over your shoulder, what you do with your life is your choice. He'll never force you to use the things that He puts in your life for any specific reason, although He would like for you to serve Him. Well, the brothers returned again. Remember, they went the first time. Joseph filled it up, put their money back. They went back home, and they lived for a while, and then they decided, you know what, we need to go back, and they went back again, and guess what? Joseph put some more in there. You see, here's what we think. We think, you know what, all I need to do is come to Christ one time, let Him fill it up, and then I'm good for life. You see, you and I are going to have to go back time and time and time again and say, Lord, would You put some more in my bag? Would You? I have substance. Would You put some more things in here that I can live for You by? And you know what? He will. Thank you, Adam. You see, what I'm saying is Joseph was an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. And you and I, that sack is a picture of our life. Now, with that said, let me say a few things this morning. I see the cup representing three things in Benjamin's life. You see, because when they got to Benjamin's sack and they opened his sack up, did he expect to have corn in there? Yes. Did he expect to have his money in there? No. Did he even think for one second there was a cup in there? Not at all. Now listen, the corn represented the need. They had to have corn to live. The money that Joseph put in there was a little extra blessing on top of the corn. But then when they opened his sack and looked in there and they thought, there's a silver cup in your sack. There's a cup in your sack. And I'm sure that all the other brothers said, no, there's no way. There's no possible way you could possibly have a silver cup in there. We're not thieves. And they reached in there and they pulled the cup out of Benjamin's sack. They said, then what do you say that is right there then? Can you imagine how the brothers felt, and can you imagine how Benjamin felt when the cup was discovered in their sack? And may I say to you this morning, do you know what most of us are walking around with? We're walking around with our life over our shoulder. Oh yeah, we got corn. Oh yeah, we got money. But can I ask you, when's the last time you opened it up and checked it out and see if there's a cup in there? You see, there's a cup in Benjamin's sack, and it was that cup that was about to change their lives forever. You see, it was God using the cup to bring them back to Him. It was Joseph using the cup His brothers weren't going back to Canaan. He used the cup to bring his brothers back to him. Now, with that said, let me have you jot down a few things and think about some things this morning. First of all, I said there's three things that I identify here that cup represents in Benjamin's life, just as it does in our life. You see, some of us this morning are going to open the sack of our life this morning, and you're going to find a cup of suffering there. You're going to open your life up, and you're going to look in, and you're going to say, what is that cup there? It's going to be the cup of suffering for you. Would you take your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 for just a moment? Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Philippians 3:10. Look at this, if you would, please. Notice this. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now underline this, look at this. And the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death. Did you see the fellowship of his sufferings? You say, what's God doing, preacher? He's doing the same thing Romans chapter 8 verse 29 said. He's conforming you to the image of his son. You say, how does he do that? For some this morning, it's going to be the cup of suffering. You see, the thing is, we don't want to open our sack and we don't want to open our life and look in there because that's what we may find. You see, God's going to have to use suffering in some of the people's lives this morning to bring you back to him. Can you imagine what Benjamin thought when the cup was discovered? Do you think maybe it crossed his mind, says, boy, you know what? I'm fixing to endure some major suffering right now because there was a cup in the sack. But you listen to me. Can I say, who put the cup there? It didn't accidentally fall into his sack by itself. Listen now. Joseph put the cup in his brother's sack for a reason. Because was not the ultimate goal to get his brother back to him? Was that the goal? Yes, it was. So he used the cup to get his brother back to him. Listen to me this morning. Some of you are going to open your sack. You're going to look inside. There's a cup of suffering. You say, what is it there for? How about maybe to get you back to him? It may be that you're going to have to suffer to get you back to the place that you need to be in your Christian life with God. You see, some this morning, some today have the cup of physical suffering. Your body, you feel, has been rebelling against you, and maybe you're going through some physical problems this morning. I don't know if that's how God's used it, but let me tell you something. There's a reason God put the cup of suffering in your life. It may be to draw you back to him. You see, the thing about it is, don't be afraid to open your life up and look inside and see what God has in your life. It may be a cup of physical suffering. Some this morning, it may be a cup of financial suffering. You say, preacher, I just can't seem to make ends meet in my life. What is God doing? He may have put a cup in there. He may have put a cup so that you could discover, you know what? That cup belongs to him. He put it there. And let me tell you something. That cup was a sign. Uh-oh, I know whose cup this is. This is the cup of Joseph. This is the cup he's looking for. And you know what? It was that cup that changed Benjamin and changed their life and drew him back to his brother. You see, some this morning, it's a cup of financial suffering. Some today, it's a cup of emotional suffering. Maybe you're under tremendous stress because of situations that are out of your control. You say, oh, preacher, what do I do? It may be a cup that God has put in your life so that you'd look back to him and say, you know what, Lord, everything in my life belongs to you. Everything that's going on, you're in total control. Listen, you know what? When they opened that sack up and found that cup in Benjamin's sack, they pulled that cup out. Do you think they had to tell those brothers whose cup it was? Do you think that maybe on the bottom they had to say, well, look on the bottom and see if it's got Joseph's inscription in there? Now, you know what? They knew whose cup it was. Listen now, and they knew who put it there. How did the cup get in there? You ever think about, wait a minute, now, I didn't take, did you take? No, I didn't take. Benjamin, did you take? No, I didn't take. Well, then how did it get there? I'll tell you how it get there. Joseph put it there. And can I say this morning, stop trying to figure out why things are all happening in your life and just accept the fact that God put that cup in your life and just accept it as fact that God's trying to use it in a way in your life, maybe to get your attention and bring you back to Him. Worked in Benjamin's case, didn't it? Yeah. Yeah. You see, some of you this morning, it may be, you may open your sack up and find a cup of family suffering. You see, whether it's physical or financial or emotional or family or whatever it may be, in some of your lives this morning, if you'll look real deep, look past the corn, look past the money, you know what you'll find? You'll find a cup. And that cup may be a cup of suffering. And instead of saying, Lord, why me? Lord, why am I facing this? Lord, why is all this going on? How about we look at it and say, Lord, I don't know all the whys about why the cup is here, but you know what? We need to look heavenward and say, Lord, thank you for the cup. Thank you for the opportunity. Listen to me. Do you think Benjamin, after all the truth was revealed, do you think Benjamin was thankful the cup was there? Guarantee you did, because you know why? His brother revealed himself to him, his long-lost brother that he thought was dead. But you know what brought him to Joseph? The cup. It was the cup that drew him back. And sometimes there's a cup of suffering. Well, some of us this morning, we're going to open the sack of our life. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to open it up. We're going to look. And it may not be a cup of suffering. For some of us, may I say, it may be a cup of service in there. Would you take your Bible and look at Genesis 43 for just a moment? Look down in verse number 23. Look at Genesis 43:23. Remember I told you the first time they came, Joseph had put the money back in there and they brought it back to him. And they explained, hey, look, we brought the money back. Now I want you to look at verse 23 of Genesis 43. And he said, Joseph said, peace be to you. Fear not, listen now, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. He said, listen, you know who put that money, because they said, listen, we're not sure how the money got there. He said, I'll tell you how it got there. Your God put it there. And can I say, when you open your sack up this morning, it may not be a sack of suffering or a cup of suffering, but it could be a cup of service. You may open your sack this morning and you may look down in there, listen to me, and you may see your sack full of talents and abilities. Listen, some of you in this congregation this morning, God has gifted you with some incredible talents and incredible abilities that you're not using for God. You say, well, I'm busy, preacher. Well, let me ask you this. Open your sack up. Listen, just because you draw the string, throw it over your shoulder, don't mean the cup's not in there. You see, Benjamin wasn't aware that it was in there, but he found out later it was in there. You see, some of us just need to open up our life and take a look and see what God has. And God has put the cup of service. He's filled your sack with talents and abilities. For some of you, He's filled your sack with prosperity and riches. God has blessed you financially. I've been to many funerals. And you know, I haven't been to one funeral where the person I did the funeral for hadn't been to one funeral where they said, listen, go get everything out of my bank account and stuff it in the sides of the casket. I'm taking it with me. Not one time. Folks, listen, all of your riches and all of your possessions are staying. They're not going anywhere. And God has blessed some of you with riches and prosperity. Let me tell you something. I've got a wise investment that you can make. How about investing in souls? How about investing in reaching people with the gospel of Christ? How about investing in feeding people and ministering to people and helping people? You see, I'm just saying that for some this morning, it's the cup of service. You've got talents and abilities and prosperity and riches. Some of you, your sack's full of mercy and grace and wisdom and knowledge. My question to you is simply, what are you going to do about your service to God when you find the cup of service in your sack? What are you going to do when you open your life up and you look down in there and you see, what is that? And you reach there and you pull a cup And it's the cup of service. And God, through His Holy Spirit, convicts you and says, listen, I've equipped you with certain abilities. I've equipped you with certain talents. And you're not using them for me. I wonder how many people in this auditorium. The choir did a great job singing this morning. But I wonder how many more people in this auditorium could have been in the choir because you can sing. I wonder how many of these people in this auditorium play an instrument, but you choose not to play it for God, but you go play it for somebody else. Amen. I'll just amen myself. Hey, what I'm saying is, you know what? You know what's in the sack? The thing about it is you open it up, you're afraid to pull the cup out because it might be the cup of service. It might be the cup of suffering. You say, what are you going to do about it? You open your sack, you open your life, and you see there's the cup. I'm just asking, is there a cup in your sack? Well, let me give you one more. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 116. Look in Psalm 116 quickly. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Are you there? Verse number 13. Psalm 116. And verse number 13. Look at this. David says, or the psalmist says, I will take the cup. Does your Bible say of salvation? And call upon the name of the Lord? You see, for some of you this morning, in your sack filled with talents and abilities, in your sack filled with corn and riches and prosperity, in some of your sacks this morning, you're going to find the cup of suffering in there. You say, well, preacher, I wish that cup wasn't in my sack. Well, what do you think Benjamin thought? He wished it wasn't in there either. But you know what? You know where that, you know what? Thank God for that cup, because you know where that cup led him to? Back to Joseph. You say, well, I opened my sack up this morning. Oh, I got plenty of corn. I got plenty of finances. I don't need anything else in there. I've got everything that I need, preacher, in my sack. Well, you may have corn, and you may have money. But can I say to you this morning, number three, some of you got a cup in there, and it's the cup of salvation. You got all that you need in life except Jesus. And God may put that silver cup in your sack this morning to help you to understand that it's not just the corn, it's not just prosperity, it's not just the finances, it's not just the things of this world that satisfy. There's something much greater than that that satisfies. You see, you can't see anything but the corn. You can't see anything but the money. May I remind you that it's the cup that changed the lives of his brothers. It was the cup that convicted them. It was the cup that drew them back to Joseph. It was the cup that Joseph called for and found. It was the cup that saved their lives. Listen to me, folks. They could have gone back to Canaan land with what little substance they had and died there. But you know what Joseph did? He said, listen, put the cup in the sack, go find them, because you know what? I got a plan. Anybody that knows the story well enough, anybody want to help me with what the plan was? It sounds to me like the plan was for them to come live with him. Was that the plan? The plan was that, you know what? You may try to go away, but I'm going to draw you back. I'm going to use the cup of salvation to bring you to me so that you can live with me forever, and I will take care of you forever. Amen. That was the plan. This morning, you know what God's plan is? To bring you back to Him so that you can live with Him forever. But listen, you can't unless you got the cup. You see, the cup in the sack was the key. You're not ever going to see the Lord without the cup of salvation. You see, it was the cup that drew them back to Joseph. It was the cup that he sought for. It was the cup that caused Joseph, listen now, to reveal himself to his brothers. One of these days, you know what? The Lord's coming back. And He's going to reveal Himself to everybody that has drank of the cup of salvation. And you know what God's looking for? When the Lord returns in your life, He's looking for the cup. He's looking for the cup. The cup of salvation, if it's there, guess what? You get to come back with Him. If it's not there, you don't. And all I'm saying to you this morning is, or asking you, is there a cup in your sack? If so, what is it? Is it the cup of suffering? If it is, remember, God put it there for a reason. You say, I'm just about whipped, preacher. Don't give up. Because there's a reason the cup's there. For some of us this morning, it's the cup of service. We need to get doing something for God. We have talents and abilities. We have prosperity. We have mercy, grace, wisdom, knowledge. But for some this morning, when you look inside your sack, there's a cup of salvation. God says, the reason I put it there was because I want you back with me. I want you to be with me. I want to take care of you. I want to love you. I want to meet your every need. You see, without the cup, they would not have ended back with Joseph. They would not have lived with Joseph. The cup convicted. The cup changed their life. I'm just asking you this morning, when you look inside your sack, is there a cup in your sack? Would you bow your heads with me for a moment this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's looking. How many would say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm a Christian. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, no question about it, and I'm happy about it. Wouldn't you, slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. Slip your hand way up high. That's me. That's me. Not ashamed of it at all. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I just simply ask this morning that you'd have your way in this invitation. I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you'd do the convicting. Some this morning need the Lord. Some couldn't raise their hand and say they had experienced salvation in Christ. Let this be the day of their salvation. Some this morning, Lord, as I was preaching, in the expression of their face, I saw that some, Lord, have discovered the cup of suffering in their sack. Some this morning have discovered that there's a cup of service. For some, Lord, it may be a cup of sacrifice. Whatever it may be, we must come this morning and acknowledge that the cup is there and that you put it there for a reason. You want fellowship with believers. You want, Lord, reunion. You want that time at well spent with you. That's your desire. But you desire nothing more important than if there might be someone here today without Christ, that they might look in their heart, open the sack of their life and look beyond the corn, look beyond the money and the prosperity and see their need of salvation. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking but me. How many would be honest? Some of you could not raise your hand and say, preacher, I know for sure that I'm saved. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. How many this morning would say, preacher, would you pray for me? I can't honestly say that I'm saved. I don't remember ever putting my faith and trust in Christ. Would you pray for me? I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you and you and you and you and you. How many say, preacher, pray for me? I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I can't ever remember having a born-again experience with Christ. Please, please pray for me. That cup that you're talking about this morning, that's for me. That's for me. I'm looking in my heart right now. How many would say, preacher, pray for me? Who will join these four? And just slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. You can slip your hand. Who will join these five or six? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. Please pray for me. That cup of salvation you're talking about, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? God bless you. How many might say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. It's biblical. And I know that's what I'm supposed to do. Would you pray for me? I've never been baptized after I got saved, but I know it's the right thing to do. And you say, preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand way up and I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. And you, and you. Who will join these three and say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Anybody else like that? All right, then let me ask you this morning, how many... While I was preaching this morning, the still, small voice of God spoke to you. And while I was preaching, you opened your heart and actually looked inside and you looked beyond the corn. You looked beyond the prosperity. You looked beyond the blessing and the finances and you saw a cup in your sack. Whether it was the cup of suffering, or sacrifice or service. Some have said they've already seen the cup of salvation that they need. How many would say, "Preacher, I've got a cup in my sack. Pray for me that I'll accept the fact that God put it there." How many would say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me." Slip your hand way up high. Just say, "That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. God bless you." All right, you can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation is yours. Have your way. Move, Holy Spirit, as you see fit. Convict where you see fit in hearts and lives. And then, Lord, maybe some that didn't raise their hand, or maybe some that you have dealt with about another matter in their life, that today you would open their heart and they might look inside and see the cup that you've placed there for one reason only, whether it's suffering, service, or salvation, one purpose, that's to draw us back to you, to find your perfect will and way for our life. And we'll ask all this in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around, let's stand to our feet. As we stand, nobody's looking, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you slipped your hand up and you'd say, "Preacher, that's me. I need the cup of salvation. This is your opportunity to come." You come. You come. You come. If you're a lady, you come. We'll have a lady here that will talk to you about your soul. Would you come? Some of you opened your heart this morning and you saw the cup of suffering that God's placed in your life. Let me remind you that God put it there. God put it in your life. Would you come and join these? We've already had a crew come down. You come. You come. You come. Still have opportunity. This is your opportunity. You come. This is your opportunity. Listen, some of you came to church this morning and you had no intentions of opening your heart, your life, and looking to see what's inside. God has opened your eyes to help you to see that He's put something in your life for your benefit. For your benefit. Some of you raised your hands and said, "Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized." You come. You come. Some of you need a place to serve God in a church home.